Hi everyone, you're listening to the Creative Bulb Podcast, a podcast that helps you get to your full creative potential. My name is Masha Tissa, a designer based in Nairobi, Kenya. I am so excited to share with you this amazing collection of episodes that features lots of creatives in the Kenyan economy, creatives in the field of animation, in the field of photography, in the field of design, in the field of film. And I know you're going to learn a lot from all these episodes. You're going to pick something that is just going to help you in your creative endeavors. So this particular series has been sponsored by the Culture Development of Eastern Africa that seeks to promote creativity and innovation within the East African region. A special mention and a special thank you to our sponsors, Mdundo Online Radio, that seeks to promote East African conscious music. So you can get Mdundo Online on www.mdundoradio.co.tz. I repeat, www.mdundoradio.co.tz. Just apart from music, you get to listen to a lot of shows. And if you're looking to know what other creatives are doing in the East African region, Mdundo Online is the show for you. So ladies and gentlemen, without wasting much time, I'd like to welcome you to the podcast, and I hope you get to enjoy this amazing collection. Today we are talking about a couple of things, and I have an interesting guest with me here. We were in school like how many years ago? Maybe 30 years. That we're becoming old.
Yeah, almost 5 years.
Almost half a decade. So, yeah. And now we're just chatting the many projects he's been working on and what he's doing currently, because he's also a creative, so we'll be learning a lot of things about it. So, karibu sana Jeff to the podcast. You're very welcome. Yes, you're very welcome. I've been wanting to host you for a while, so I was just waiting for you to get content. You know, now you're 5 years, 10 years worth of experience. I think this is the best time for us to have this conversation. To start off, I just want you to tell us, who's Jeff? What do you do?
Thank you very much for having me. My name is Jeff Mandela. Full name is Awoke, Jeffrey Mandela. But that's Jeff is what everyone seems to know me for. I think it's much easier. So I am an animator, a lecturer, and very passionate about 2D animation and implementing the African aesthetic to the animation pipeline. As I said, I did an undergrad in Kenya, focused on animation, and then went ahead to South Africa to pursue my postgrad in digital arts, where I, learned a little bit of game design, but not a lot really. I still focused on 2D animation. So came back to the country, came back to Kenya to now at least try to get those things that I learned from there to now implement them here. Because I think when I was there, I was involved in, there's a program called the Timolohom Digital Innovation Precinct, which basically takes in graduates from various animation schools in Africa and has a 8 month crash program whereby you work on a production, like an actual production with a client. And their main focus is trying to make the work as world class as possible. So it was really quite intense. Got to meet a lot of people, got to work on a lot of techniques that I can improve my craft, which, made it a bit of a higher quality. So that's, so once you're released from that program, you're now tasked to now go back to wherever you're from and try to implement those industry standard techniques and practices that they have for other animators in the continent specifically. Yeah.
That's really good experience. Like you have experience animating in Kenya, also South Africa. And you say that you want to implement the African aesthetic to the animation. I know this because you've always been interested in 2D animation. I don't know why. Why is there a reason why 2D animation in particular? Because there are other forms of animation. I don't know why you're not into, even in school, you're always like a 2D person. Why 2D?
As I think one of the main issues that we're even trying to address right now is capacity building. And one of the things I majored on is trying to look not just in the art itself, but also context, like the African context as we are. the labor market that's currently there. And the first thing that I noted when with these other forms of animation, they have a high bar of entry. Like you need some level of skill and also some level of equipment, which I feel in the continent, we're still not there yet. We're trying, like there are a couple of artists who are actually doing the most. But in terms of capacity, if you go to, let's say, the slums in Kibera or in Soweto or wherever you are, getting a person to go to 3D animation sort of requires a lot of infrastructure in place for them to actually accommodate them. So the reason why I specifically went to 2D is it has a low bar of entry, if I can say so. Any artist out there who just knows how to draw or has the simplest of equipment can actually enter to the pipeline seamlessly without any, you know, a high bar of entry. I'll give an example. Let's say I want a background for my animation. What I need to do is basically just go to an artist, a fine artist in Kibera, who's done some landscapes, some good landscapes and whatnot, and put, you know, has that skill of drawing the environment, and actually just use that as a backdrop for my animation. So you see, you've already incorporated them into the pipeline, and of course, you've created some opportunity for them, rather than them just trying to hustle their way into just trying to sell that a simple drawing that they've done, but you've actually, you know, made it appear in a bigger scope, if I can say so. So 2D specifically, I feel like in the current global landscape, especially with the video on demand services, things come on Netflix, things like you know, Viacom and all these big studios that need content. So I noticed that there's a gap when it comes to outsourcing their work. And what they do, they create the concepts in those countries. And then since our labor is a bit cheaper, so what they do is outsource this labor-intensive but low-skill like parts of the pipeline. Things like, if I can explain, things like cleanup, things like color. They outsource it to other parts of the world. And right now, Asia, and specifically Southeast Asia, places like Vietnam, South Korea, and all these things, they have focused their energy on trying to work on these shows that the developed countries work on, and then they outsource it to them for them to actually work on them. So I feel like 2D has a lot of potential when it comes to creating opportunities for the common man, the layman artist out there who doesn't necessarily have those really high skills of modeling and rigging that comes with techniques like 3D. So specifically for 2D, I feel like the market has a potential of creating opportunities for the artist to put in and to sort of create, you know, work for them without necessarily having, you know, intense skills when it comes to softwares and when it comes to equipment and all these things. So that's why I'm very passionate about that. And I try to build capacity using that mode of animation, because I feel it has a huge potential and it's coming up.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like in terms of 2D is always a lot easier, because honestly, 3D, because of the rendering period, I don't know, it's just another drama altogether. It's not easier, but it's better. It's easier to like teach someone 2D and produce the output is faster as opposed to 3D. But now when you look at animation, especially animation as an industry, now you're looking at Africa. You've said you want to implement the African aesthetic to animation. Most of the times, even because you're a teacher, you also teach like animation history. Because now we learn about anime, we learn about animation in Hollywood. But now Africa, like, what is it that we are producing? Because in terms of innovation, like, what's the opportunity over there? Are we there yet? Where are we? Just try to give a gauge of where we are at as an African animation industry. Because when you're trying to even get content for African animation, you're like, okay, how do you know this is African animation? Is it because when it's animated by an African, you know?
Actually not. Yeah, that's a very good question. I think I'll answer it in sort of three facets, because you started with where we are at the moment, like where the continent is. And I'm afraid we are still not even. Some places are a bit more advanced. Some places are still, there's still quite some work to be done. If I may start with, let me start with the places like the two big wigs, Nigeria and South Africa. South Africa is a bit more developed when it comes to, they have been in the game for quite some time. A lot of big budgeted works have been done there. If you remember, they even shot Avengers Age of Ultron in Johannesburg. I could literally see like the building that I was staying in. There was a scene between Iron Man and Hulk, and that there's a fight sequence, and they actually literally destroyed the building that I was in. So it's crazy. For them, they already have like infrastructure that's been able to make them a bit more advanced. So they have been able to work with bigger studios. So, but when it comes to places like Nigeria, Nigeria has a lot of talent. Like their numbers are amazing, and the few artists I've interacted with from there have been working with, you know, big things like Netflix, Nickelodeon, Viacom, and all these things. But most of them are sort of in an individual capacity. So it's not really amalgamated. They're still all over the place. And I will compare that to Kenya. Kenya is also in the same space. For Kenya, I would say so our market doesn't yet consume local content. We are really focused a lot on international content and international stuff. So that's usually a problem when it comes to when you release your own work. And the Kenyan market expects a certain level of quality that you need to have for you to entice them. And in terms of now the African aesthetic. Now, how do you differentiate African work from the rest of the world? It's an issue that I have. I have with my students, and I have it, you know, also fellow artists out there. We are inspired. We are inspired by external works of art. At the moment, the craze is anime. Everyone wants their work to be like anime, to be, you know, even their designs, their sets, their stories, they are more related towards the anime aesthetic. And there's totally nothing wrong with that, because either way, even us, when we were growing up, we were inspired by things like Cartoon Network, you know, Dexter's Lab, Powerpuff Girls, and all these things. You know, later on, we Pixar and DreamWorks came to us, and, you know, we were inspired by such things. But now when it comes to now what an African aesthetic is, it has to be sort of divided into two parts. Of course, we have visual elements and the story element too. So on the visual element, that one is more of a creative choice. In as much as you might want to tell an African story, you can't use Western or Eastern imagery to portray the same. You sort of have to be inspired by what is exactly around you, because I can't tell a story about an African boy, yet I am drawing a white face, you know, with a long nose. You know, just have this iconography of that portrays Eastern or Western elements. It has Eastern and Western elements. So that's what I try to push for my students. You know, look around you, look at the masks that you usually had back in the day, and photos of yourself. Try to just look at yourself and look at your history and look at your aesthetic generally, your visual aesthetic around you, and now implement it to your work. Now, the second phase, which I feel is even more important than the first phase, because in terms of visual, that's a bit subjective. And like creatives, you know, we have our own styles. But when it comes to story, that's where things get quite interesting. Because I had started this point of people trying to tell Western stories in the name. You're an African artist trying to tell a Western story. If I can give you an example through a story, when we were back when I was in South Africa, and there's a sort of a cocktail event that we went to, and there were executives from these major companies up there. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of them, we were having a conversation with them, and they were like, okay, cool, you're an African. And you have this idea, this great idea, great visuals and all these things. But it has like that anime or that Disney aesthetic. So what's to say, why should I give you work yet I know there's someone out there in Japan, or there's someone out there in the US who can actually do it better. Because you're talking about, you're in Africa, you've never had any European or you never had any Asian experience. So why do you want to write a story that has an Asian experience? So my conclusion is, for artists to really implement that aesthetic, they should go back within them and think about the experiences that they've had. Because personally, my experiences revolve around, you know, growing up in Eldoret, from Eldoret coming to Nairobi for my campus. From campus, you know, interacting with all these people from Ongata Rongai all the way to Westlands, now coming back, going to Johannesburg, interacting with all these people from, you know, from the richer side to the poorer side. So those experiences specifically are the things that now we should now start telling our stories about. Of course, I'm not trying to tell people now to now make documentaries. No, that's not the case.
Yeah.
But my case is trying to get a base of your own experiences, like the experiences that you've had, that should be that starting point. And then now you can explore whatever element of fantasy that you want to portray, but it still should be grounded on the African experience.
Yeah. I like what you said about that. Like, it is a combination of the visual element and also the story element, because I think that's where the difference is always. Like, most of us are always inspired by other artworks. And you've also mentioned growing up, because even for me, the reason why I chose animation is because of the works. Cartoon Network then was a hit. And even when you look at history, those are the works of Hanna-Barbera, Will and Joe Barbera. You see, then they were like the first people, because they're using limited animation techniques. Before then, guys were used to Disney, and then Disney was being more realistic, which is fine. But then now when limited animation was introduced, so what Hanna-Barbera did is like they just revolutionized the whole industry. So we kind of have most of the animations that we watch that we always remember the likes of Scooby-Doo, like they're their works. Now you're looking at it now in terms of Africa now. Is there room for innovation? Like, I think most people growing up in the 90s were influenced by their works. I don't know about kids now. That one is questionable. But then there was a lot of influence by what was coming out of Cartoon Network, which were mostly films from Hanna-Barbera. So now, and as Africa, because our industry is very young, do you think there's an opportunity for people now, like the Will and Joe Barbera, to just come up and maybe influence the whole continent? Do you feel like there's room for innovation? I mean, we've already seen it all.
Not yet. Actually, that's a very good point. I would suggest maybe your listeners, when I was down there, I met like an amazing group of artists who have started something called the Vovo Style. Vovo Style, basically, it's Vovo Style. It's started by, there's a guy called Yosefo Vosta, a very good artist. He was, went to France for his master's.
Mm-hmm.
And came back, and he's the one who was one of the pioneers of that Simulacrum program that I was in. And one of their major points is now implementing the African aesthetic. So in terms of what you're asking me, just techniques and how to democratize, that's a problem that still has to be solved. And one of the ways that I'm planning to do that, it's literally on what I'm planning to sort of pursue for my PhD. It's done in terms of democratizing the animation pipeline. Because for my master's, it was more remediating the animation pipeline to cater for the African aesthetic and experience amidst the colonial gaze, you know, how we are portrayed as Africans by people from off the continent.
Yeah.
But now this time to sort of pursue this issue, because I already identified the problem, which is already how Africans are portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And now trying to implement the African aesthetic. Now, after implementing that African aesthetic, how do we make these kids or these upcoming artists now implement that work into their work in the most seamless way possible?
Yeah.
And it is, I wouldn't say that I have concluded that there is a specific way to go about it. This is still like an ongoing journey. As I said, the industry is pretty young, especially in the context of where we are, whereby the economy isn't really going very well. There are a lot of inequalities. A lot of people don't have access to capital, which capital helps them, you know, get equipment and all these things. So we try as much as possible to use whatever we have, whatever little that we have, you know, be it just like a small tablet, be it just like a small laptop that can cater for a technique that doesn't really require a lot of equipment involved. So when it comes to now the actual animation technique, I know a lot of Kenyan animators have really gone, especially those who are doing 2D. Most of them are going to cut out animation because they feel it's simpler one and it's you know what is easier to do and what is more feasible for them to actually achieve. For me personally, my personal take is I feel like your cutout has a good potential, but it doesn't really express. If done right, it can actually do amazing things.
Yeah.
If you look at an example of a Canadian studio called Mercury Filmworks, they do cutouts, but cutouts done in a way that you wouldn't even know it's cutouts.
Mm.
But for us to reach that level, it still needs a lot of technicalities. So that's why I still come to the traditional way of doing things, where we just implement those principles of animation to our drawings.
Mm.
So because I feel like one thing that can never be taken away from a person is their talent and their passion. So you can remove all the equipment, you can remove all the whatnot, but if the talent remains, whatever medium you use, even if it's 3D, 2D, or traditional or cutout, whichever, as long as you have grasped those principles, it's very easy for you to implement it in whichever style that you feel comfortable. So I wouldn't say there is a specific road for us to go to in terms of technique. I just feel like we need to focus first on all the artists understanding the principles of animation and understanding all the principles of elements and principles of art to starters, and then before upgrading them to now whichever technique that they use. Because if I find that's what makes your work world class, if you're able to apply all these principles that make your work visually appealing. I wouldn't say there's a specific direction, because we are the best thing about being a young industry is that we get to determine our fate. Like no one else has already like given us a path for us to go.
I love what you said, because I've just been thinking about it, and for me I've always known like the problem in animation isn't necessarily the technique. Because there are people out here with techniques, there are people who know, if you need someone, a specialist in 2D, you'll definitely get people around the continent. My only issue now is, I feel like we need to really do a lot of focus on the story beat, because story is now where people lose it. Because if you look at even the reasons why we enjoy Cartoon Network wasn't because the animation was, most of them are just choppy, like box cycles that look very funny, but we love them because of the story. So we need to focus a lot on the story beat. So in terms of telling an African story now, from you and your experience, what advice do you have to give around that topic?
I think in terms of telling the African story, as I had said previously, experiences. And I think now that you brought it up, this might be also a good segue to go into. I think this will be the first of maybe media rounds that I'll be doing the next couple of months.
Oh, nice.
Because I'm just releasing, I think probably when this podcast will be released, that's when probably I will release the first teaser trailer for Mama Mboga.
Oh, okay.
Which is a show that I have been working on for the last about 5 years, even before leaving the country, I was working on it. And now, though it's been a back and forth. But so, as coming back to the main point, when it comes to implementing the African aesthetic, it's more of what are your experiences? For example, if I can be personal, my inspiration for Mama Mboga came from, you know, living in Rongai, and you have these vegetable vendors who are out in the streets and trying to fight for customers. So in this case, you're coming from school and you have this really old mama trying to sell, you know, groceries, you know, tomatoes and onions and all these things. And then you have the other one who's selling vegetables. And when you appear from the road, all of them look at you like that's a potential customer. So all of them try to entice you to come to their store because they're many. So what I do is just take that simple premise that I have of two people or several people who are just hustling, trying to make a living out of selling vegetables, and now turn it into this battle of wits that has extreme sets. You know, avocados going to space, avocado, you know. Doing so. Yeah, it gets really crazy, just pushing, because, you know, it's a medium. The best thing about animation is that you can push reality as far as you can, but still ground it in a basic concept. So that basic concept is more like let's call it Tom and Jerry, but in an African context, whereby we have these two characters who are fighting for a goal, but at the end of the day, we give them a backstory, just humanize them in a way that they are visually appealing, they are relatable. Wherever you are, you can see their struggles, you can see what they go through for them to actually survive. So it's just telling our story, but in a fun way, that a little child can see all these crazy things that these mamas are doing. And actually, one day when they're driving or when they're walking in the streets, they'll be like, oh, yeah, actually seeing that's the mama. And they sort of appreciate what these characters are doing. So those experiences are what we should really try to focus on putting into our stories so that, you know, the world can actually see us as humans and appreciate the life that we live in and the potential that we have for the future.
Yeah. So Mama Mboga, first question is, did you animate it yourself or you have an entire team?
It's just a teaser though. So it's like almost 15 to 20 seconds of animation. Okay. However, I had a background artist who's been there with me since 2016, actually. We've been working together in several projects. We did some illustrations together for one of the major publishers in Kenya. And then that's when I was like, oh, this guy actually is very good in terms of just drawing background design. So he's on with my backgrounds. When I was in South Africa, I met up with a very talented sound designer. And he was like, yo, he'd be very willing to join me for the project. So he's the one who did like the sound for the trailer. And now the animation, since I have been doing it, just slowly finding bits of time here and there for my lectures in the evening, or just, you know, just getting 1 hour a day somewhere and just working on it there. So it's sort of a self thing. But once it's done, once it's approved, I'm hoping to get some funding. And, you know, investors were willing to actually get in on the idea, and you can push it forward to create, you know, a very enticing and very cool series.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to watch it. I hope you really get all the funding you need. Now, I want us to talk about capacity building now, because for you to have so many Mama Mbogas, you need a team. What are you doing as a person, as Jeff? Because you've mentioned you teach at two institutions right now. What do you do as a person? And then also, what suggestions would you have for an industry, maybe like for the East African region, in terms of building capacity that we're able to work on so many films together just to build this industry?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is quality skills transfer. Once the skill transfer that we give to the upcoming artists, the reason why I focus a lot on academia, because I know very well the industry is not ours. The industry is for the people who are actually coming up, and they're the ones who have to take it to the moon. We are basically just lying down on the panel for them to come and walk on us and actually fly. So it's for us, it's for the people who are actually pioneers in the industry. What we need to do is adequately give them proper skills that they need to start their journey. And the mistakes that we probably made as a sort of an older generation, we try to tell them, okay, these are mistakes you shouldn't do, these are the approaches you shouldn't take, so that by the time they reach the market, they are seamless. Like once they hit the market, they're able to maneuver whatever, they understand the business side of things. They understand the artistic side. They understand the stories that they need to tell for them to be relevant. So, yeah, for the East African market, I would say, let's stop being westernized. We are too westernized here in East Africa specifically. Because if I go to places like Nigeria and South Africa, they have like deeply embedded cultures in them. In as much as, yes, they are diverse, but they still ground their work a lot into their cultures. Whereas I saw most of the works coming from East Africa are either just replicas of what's already been done by the West. And it feels forced and it feels copied, if you know what I'm saying. It doesn't feel original, it doesn't feel authentic. So yeah, it's that those matters of trying to, of course, being inspired by other people, but ground it in your own context and experience. That's maybe the major thing I will tell my East African artists here. So yeah, try as much as possible to ground your work to your own experiences, and you'll start feeling and seeing that originality manifest itself. Yeah.
So you just talked about the East African region lacking in terms of originality, because we need to embed our culture in terms of our works and in terms of the animations that you do. I think I agree with you, and I know we have a long way to go, but there's nothing, it's not lost. There's still hope. You know, we keep on having these conversations. The people, there's so many women, there's so many men as well, who are looking to get into animation in the East African region. So I know podcasts like this would really help them out. So I just want you to maybe advise someone. I know you've talked briefly about your projects, Mama Mboga. You're going to tell us maybe as we conclude other projects you've worked on that you can go check out. But I want you to speak to this animator who's in East Africa and is looking to do animation. I don't know, where do they look? What advice would you have for someone like that? How would they navigate the industry? What are some of the things they need to look out for?
I think for starters, in the Kenyan context, we have the Association of Animation Artists of Kenya. And that's sort of the first step they should take. Like, regardless of if you're a student or even if you're freelancing, or you just make a point of joining that association. Because as I said at the beginning of this session, is that we are a bit scattered out there. Everyone has their own thing happening. And with that, it's very counterproductive, because animation is a collaborative process.
Yeah.
And we need numbers. Because as I was speaking to one of the CEOs of a major company that has done a quite a successful show in Kenya, that had puppets and politics and all these things. And they were saying that they've been approached severally by companies from abroad seeking to outsource their work to Africa. But then when they come and look at the artists, you find like 10 or less than 10 artists in a studio, than 10 artists in a space. So you realize they are afraid, because that's the capacity that we're talking about, that they're afraid that we won't be able to actually perform that task, because they feel like we're still few. But far from it, because if you look at the association's database, we're about more than 300 registered animators. Mm-hmm. That's how many we are in the country. So it's just about consolidating them together. So as an artist, as an animator who's starting out, make a point of joining the association that you have in your country. Guys in South Africa have Animation SA. Guys in Ghana also have their own Animation Nigeria and Animation Ghana. So join an association. Through that association, even the jobs and grants from the government usually come from there. There's a lot of money that governments usually have, and they don't spend it because no one comes to claim them. So the purpose of an association is to go to the government and negotiate with it. And once the funding is received, they can now distribute it to the artists on projects. Mm. Through projects, actually. You're not just getting money out of nowhere. You need to have a project at hand. And then, that's when you can easily get funding. So first step, join an association. Second step, it's something I emphasize to my students, I emphasize to my fellow artists, and it's a question, it's a thing I had to learn it the hard way. I wasn't putting a lot of hours to my craft. I realized when going there, I'm in a space where we have 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds who are miles, miles ahead of you. Very, very good. And it's because they put more than 3 hours a day into their craft, even if it's work or even if it's just your own personal project. But they put a lot of hours, which makes the quality of their work very high.
Yeah.
So those for starters, as a beginner, those are the first two steps. And the third step, we have the power of the internet right now. Mm-hmm. People are getting... give an example of a film called Klaus by Netflix. Klaus was fully done remotely. Like, Some of the artists have never met each other.
Mm-hmm.
The producers are from Spain, some of them from America, and the artists are from all over the world. Like we have artists, you know, all the, from the whole of Europe, North America, South America, whatever. Like it was a collaborative effort. And most of those works were gotten from guys who would just post their work on Instagram. And this producer will go and, you know, scroll around and see like, this work is really good. Let me contact them and see if they're interested to come to the production. So have an online presence. That's the one of the most important things in this day and age. So no matter how talented you are, if no one is seeing your work, then it's null and void. So have an online presence, join an association, put hours into your work, constantly post, constantly seek feedback, constantly seek critique. And yeah, don't be afraid to just seek mentorship from people around you, from people that you feel have reached a level that you want to reach. So yeah, those sort of are the three major steps. The rest will come in as time moves forward.
You've alluded to something that I was actually thinking about in terms of you find that there's a project coming in and people, like there are no people, like you find 10 people in a studio. Is it a problem with character? Are we just too proud? Mama, we have big egos as animators in the industry. Like everyone, you know, you want Jeff. Mama Mboga wants to be written and directed by Jeff. Jeff is the animator. Like you wouldn't want to share your glory with someone else. Do you think that's a problem we are facing? If we are humble enough to maybe share credit, maybe we'll have been better. I don't know. What's the problem? What's the, in your own opinion?
Yeah, this is my own opinion and also my own personal experience. I used to think the reason why my prior works are not really as high of a quality as they are at the moment is because just the same way we had egos and we used to think, okay, maybe I want to do all these things myself and I want to take credit and seem like I am the sole creator of this and I will, you know, the beginning and the end. But then I realized, it can only get you so far. You won't really move as much. So maybe as a challenge to the studios in Kenya, I'm happy that recently we had the Kalasha market and a lot of the studios were there together and we could see how scattered we are and why the association was very important when it comes to just consolidating all our resources. It's still good to still maintain that individual capacity because, of course, you know, you might get a TV commercial that doesn't necessarily require more than 50 people. You know, you can easily do it as your in-house thing. But what I want to focus, and I think it's also something I noticed in the South African industry, they still have the small studios. But what they do is that they have one major umbrella body that now whenever there's a big project, they now get all these smaller studios come together and like collaborate on that one project. So it's more of just a network. A network needs to be created whereby there's an umbrella body that comes in and consolidates all the work together and then redistributes it to the other studios of Kuching. So it's just a matter of collaboration amongst studios and proper communication, constant and proper communication that is there. But so far, so good. I feel we are on the right track at the moment because the association is going stronger and it's just a matter of time when the next project comes. I feel like we are at the point where it's now a matter of skills now. The consolidation is happening. It's currently happening with the major studios in Kenya. With the major stakeholders, they are coming together and, you know, knowing each other's strengths and weaknesses. But then, so when the project comes in, now it's a matter of now the artists, individual artists from all these studios, or from, you know, whether you're freelance or not, to now upgrade your skills to match the ones that are there, you know, in the global market.
Ever since Tinga Tales, I don't know if there's any project that has unified animators in the region like Tinga Tales. Maybe you can educate me. Because I was just imagining if all of us, because maybe someone, your strongest suit is just in writing. If we just come together, everybody, people from Tanzania, you are just a background painter, work on a project. We'll be speaking as one voice in terms of the industry. So maybe we are getting there, hopefully. But I feel like we need to be too proud.
Just to add on that, there's this anthology series by Disney that's coming up called Kizazi Moto. I also feel like it will definitely be a game changer because it's supposed to be released, I think, either end of this year or beginning of next year. Because it has sort of consolidated artists. There's one artist from Kenya called Mendo Muti.
Yeah.
And her short is among there. And you know, we had guys from South Africa, guys from Nigeria, and all these places. So I feel like that project, depending on how it goes, it will definitely be a game changer when it comes to just African animation.
Yeah.
So once we are able to show the world that, okay, this is the quality that can actually come from Africa, even artists themselves will be, okay, cool. This is what happens when people are united.
Yeah.
And you know, able to produce great things. So it's still a matter of time. We're praying for the best. And yeah, we're happy where we are because it's baby steps. And I'm also hoping that Mama Mboga will be like the next project that actually unites everyone.
So you said everyone up. Come and join Mama Mboga.
Yeah. To join this movement that we want to create with these two very lovely mamas.
Yeah. I love the synopsis of Mama Mboga. I really love the concept. It's something that even has potential to be like a series until forever, because it's just so much Mama Mboga goes through. I can't even imagine the possibilities of such a story. And you know, this is just coming from you, and this is just like one idea. You can imagine how many people around the region have ideas for animations. So it's just a matter of knowing how to monetize, how to bring people together. Now, so let's assume I have this amazing concept like Mama Mboga for you. What advice would you have for such a person? Yes, I have this. What are the different ways in which you're able to get some of your ideas to life?
Well, my approach to such ideas, I treat them like real estate. When you buy a piece of land on the cheap, like treat that piece of land as your idea. And that piece of land, depending on how much you develop it, that's how much value it gets. Because if you add a fence there, if you add like a house there, or if you add, you know, like a small business there, the value almost quadruples. So let those ideas not just be ideas, because one of the best ways that you know if your idea is a good idea or not is if you actually start working on it. Like if you, let's say you have an idea of a story, start by maybe just, if you're good at drawing, or if you're good at outsourcing, you know, even if you don't have to be the best at drawing, but you can actually get someone who can implement it for you. So treat it as a business, treat it as a startup, get the little money that you have, get an artist get yourself an artist or a person, a writer who can actually write your stuff and actually picturize it in a way that becomes consumable. From that, you've already added value to your work, even if it's not there yet. But the value that you have, whenever you go to someone who's willing to invest in your work, they've already seen that there is some work there. Rather than going to an executive to say, you know, I have this idea. Everyone has ideas everywhere. Ideas pop up randomly at any point, but it's a matter of just implementation. As I said, something like Mama Mboga has taken me more than 5 years back and forth. Sometimes you even leave it, you're like, because I have to study, I have to do all these things. So, and I have to work, I have to pay bills, and realize, oh no, this thing is not, it's sometimes you almost even give up on it. But that's the price that comes with actually owning an idea. So it's about implementing it, trying to push it, make sure that it's more valuable. An idea is an abstract concept, but try to make it as tangible as you can with whichever means that you have. So even if it's dedicating time for you to work on it, do that, so that by the time you actually meet somebody who is willing to invest in it, they can already see a solid concept that is feasible and can be worked through.
So much for that, because now we're learning. A lot of the times we always have these ideas, so how do you go about your ideas? And you're really learning from your experience. So I don't know if you know, there's this organization called CIDEA, Culture Development of East Africa, because what they want is they want to promote creativity and innovation within the region. So maybe when you have Mama Mboga, you can always, like, because they like trying to unify the region. So you can always like contact them, see if you're trying to get a region, which is a very good, they're a very good organization. And they're also like the sponsors of this podcast. Advertisers, ads are there. So we're going to talk about your project and then maybe like your final comments on this issue. So far, so good. We know we are expecting a project Mama Mboga coming up from you. What are some of these other projects that you've worked on that you can go check out? And just where can we see your work, and how can we reach out to you for someone who's looking for a teacher, since you are, you know, you have very good experience.
Thank you. That's a very good experience. Not yet. We are trying.
You think how much?
As I say, back in South Africa, there's a very good, it's not yet released though, but we are hoping that it will be released time soon. It's called Lolo. It's a very heartwarming sort of a pilot for a potential series about this little girl in Soweto and how she's trying to solve problems within her community through, you know, wild imagination and just creativity. So it's a very enticing project that we're hoping once the pilot is released, you'll be able to see it in several places. I've also been part of a couple of music videos from Oakland, California, but being produced by a studio in South Africa, whereby I went in as a capacity of a storyboard artist and also an animator, cleanup artist and color artist. So they aren't yet released, but we are hoping in the next couple of weeks, I guess, it should be up and running. So far those are the major projects that have been, aside from now teaching students, some of the projects that they have been doing there's a Rubika program in ADMI, Africa Digital Media Institute, whereby they've collaborated with French Canadian school called Rubika, and they're doing amazing work in 2D. And yeah, those are some projects. And also in USIU, we are also creating measures in terms of building capacity amongst the students and trying to push the alumni to now come back and produce good content for them. So it is a process. And I just want to urge the animators out there to not give up. I know very well it is a tough market. It is a tough sell. You really need to be in your prime for you to actually crack it. But if the numbers are here, if the numbers are there, and if we all consolidate together and we just collaborate on the various projects that we have, I'm pretty sure we'll make a mark in the global industry in general. So, yeah.
You've mentioned you teach at USIU, and if I'm not wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, I think USIU is the first university in the region, it could be in Africa, that's offering a degree in animation and game design. Is that true? Is it in Africa or in the region? Because I haven't heard of a degree so far in animation, because most of the degrees, like it's, well, not you did this film production and animation, but USIU is doing animation purely and game design. Is that true?
Because it has a specific to pure animation, and which is actually good because the students start their skills as early as first year, so that by the time they're in fourth year, they are quite focused and they've already established those basic skills required.
Yeah.
So it is, that's specifically to the region, the East and Central African region. And I would say, I'm not sure about West Africa. Yeah, because it might be the same. Because in South Africa, we have the Wits University, which now offers the digital arts. Though for them, it's more of a game design focused, oriented towards gaming.
Yeah.
So however, in South Africa, there's a school called the Animation School, which is amazing. Like it's not a degree, but it really produces really good animators out there.
Yeah.
But I think in the East African region, USIU is a place to go.
Yeah.
And also for those now seeking, you know, skills and not necessarily a degree, but more just good skills, they can go to Africa Digital Media Institute. They're doing amazing work there.
Yeah. So thank you so much for that. I really love the work you're doing in terms of building capacity, because we need so many people in the in the animation industry, and I love your contribution. So question, do you offer like other, maybe this is an idea I'm giving you, or maybe something you're doing, do you, aside from just while you're teaching, do you have like other master classes, you know, masterclass with Jeff or something? Do you have masterclasses, or how can we, if yeah. I'm not a student, I don't want to go back to school, do you have such?
There's only so much, because I have been, my weeks have been stretched. Like I have like almost 10 hour days. But anyway, for just capacity building, we have the Association of Animation Artists have a Discord channel, mm-hmm. whereby in the evenings I usually log in and share my screen. So they have a lounge where it's a chill out session where guys can just hop in the voice chat.
Yeah.
And you can share the screen as you work. So what I usually do is we have these sessions where in the evening after supper, or just if you want to hang out, you log on to Discord, you get in and you start drawing. I've had a session with a couple of animators who needed some advice when it comes to character design, when it comes to animation. So we'd sit down with them for hours on end, have a live session, do some drawovers for them, advise them on how to approach the industry. So such channels, that's where I try as much as possible to reach out to as many people as I can,
yeah.
and try to just give them the skills that I also learned from somewhere else and just transfer it to them and see them implement it in their own work and just grow.
Yeah.
So for the artist who might be willing to be in contact with me, you can easily just go to my Instagram page, give me a message, and we can arrange with how we can always have this online sessions whereby we just talk and, you know, appreciate each other's work, critique each other's work, and move the industry forward.
What's your Instagram handle?
It's @Jeff_Mandela.
Oh, that's easy, @Jeff_Mandela. I didn't even know of that, by the way. So you're saying Association of Animation Artists, it's called Discop, DISCOP, the channel where you share your screen.
It's called Discord. It's sort of
Discord, okay.
DISCORD. So it's an app you can download on your phone, or you can download it on your computer. So yeah, you just log on to there, and if you have the link for the group server, you can get the link. Once you're in, you're able to meet up all the industry professionals that are in Kenya at the moment. You're able to give them a message. You're able to go to the voice chat in case you want to chill with a group of you, you know, just have fun. Yeah, there are several channels for that you can easily, once you get into that, the interface already provides you with the several options that you have when it comes to interacting with other people. So it is fun. People share their work, people share some tips and tricks from other places, people share tutorials and all these things. So a lot of those things are happening in just that one space, which I feel is very crucial.
Yeah, and if there's one thing I'm learning is from this whole conversation is get to know your associations, be a part of them, know the activities they are working. Don't be in isolation. You know the way you're like, you're the only person who knows what you're working on. Nobody knows what you're working on. So we need to get over the fear of critiquing, like allowing your work to be critiqued, let people know what exactly you're working on. Maybe just as we finish up, have you ever had dangers of someone stealing your ideas? You know, sometimes people don't like sharing what they're working on because it's a secret. I don't know. Have you had challenges with people stealing your great ideas?
I've escaped the line a little bit. Yeah, I was almost into a trap of that. I almost entered that trap for a certain place. I don't think I'll mention it. But yeah, it's something, as I say, treat it as real estate. Someone can come and try to con someone else to buy your piece of land. So it's a risk that's there. That's why I'm saying, once you have an idea, start implementing it ASAP to the point that no one can steal it from you. Everyone already knows it's yours. Because even if right now someone tries to say Mama Mboga was my thing, no, Mama Mboga has been mine since 2016. So even if someone comes in and say, oh, this was there, we'd be like, no, this guy already worked on it for quite some time. So when you start working on something, when you build a solid foundation on an idea that you have, in a way you own it. Second thing, copyright your work. Like, I can't emphasize it enough. Like for me, it's I have a certificate of copyright. It's
Mama Mboga. Okay, yeah, from Kekobo. Okay.
Kekobo, and for the logos, I know it's a crazy process. It has a lot of money. Trademarking like your logos and your characters, that's also very crucial. Always do that. So sacrifice that little money that you have and whatnot. If you really believe in your idea that it's going to go far, you're willing to invest in it. So whatever idea you have, put it in paper, put it in print, put it in whatnot, copyright it, trademark it. That's the only way to go.
Okay. So I didn't know you're this serious. Like even your characters, all of them.
Of course, once the logo is in place, because the characters fall under now the copyright.
Yeah.
But then the logo, which might be used in merchandising and all these things, that's now on the trademark part for its intellectual properties. They want to learn about those. Yeah.
Treat it as a business. That's what I'm getting. Treat it as a business. Be serious from the get-go. It's not like you're doing a hobby. Because you see, at the end of the day, you know you've taken so much time. Like, we were just joking, like, we've stayed almost 6 years ever since we finished campus. Like, you've taken time, you've gone to school, you've done those assignments. Like, you are definitely giving value. So, if you're doing something very serious, then you should take yourself very seriously. And also, so that people can also appreciate your work. You know, they're not looking at animation as just making cartoons and just doing some funny stuff. They need to take it as a very serious job. So now as we finish, do you have any advice for anyone? This can be random. Talk to the creative who's listening right now, because you've said this podcast has been sponsored by SIDEA, so probably people from the East African region. And to talk to that animator in the region, what is that thing you'd want them to know from Jeff?
Yeah, from Jeff, really take care of your mental health. Take care of your physical body and your mental health, because those will be your main assets in life. Regardless of, we might talk about all these things about animation and everything, but if we are not there to actually implement them, they're null and void. So take care of yourself, eat healthy, speak to people whenever you feel depressed, because I know animation sometimes might be a very lonely kind of venture, like feel like you're alone. So talk to other people, interact with people. So take care of your mental health, take care of your physical health, and most importantly, push on your craft, improve every single day. That's the takeaway that I want everyone to get from this.
There's no shortcut. You know, you don't sleep, and because for me, because I haven't drawn for a while, so I'm just thinking like every time I touch a pencil, I'm like, so I don't know, it's those things. It's true, you have to really practice if you have to be serious about it. And it's an everyday thing. Because I was talking to another animator. He's always animating all the time. He's always practicing. He's always drawing every day. I'm like, hey, you're serious? Some of us retired ever since those things of rendering, but it's okay as well. So thank you so much, Jeff, for giving your advice and just encouraging another animator and for the amazing work you're doing in terms of capacity building. There's something about being a teacher, like, it makes you even happier. You know, when you're teaching someone something, I don't know, that's always the secret. I think I always tell everyone, if you want to be happier, you have less mental health problems as long as you're helping someone. So it's your small way of giving. So as you give, you even a better person. So thank you so much for the amazing work you're doing. I'm looking forward to you having masterclasses. You know, just think about it, 2 weeks or a day. It's just with Jeff and just sharing your experiences that you're able to improve the industry. Maybe even go to Tanzania, we go to Uganda. You know, these things. We do workshops in different places. I know people will be able to learn a lot from you. So thank you so much. So people can check out your social media handles and check out your work. Just in case of any questions, they can always ask you.